welcome to this ICIS podcast. And today you're joined by your host, Cameron Birch, who's the editor for Refinery Solvents Report in Europe. And I'm joined today by the editor for some of our refined oil products, gasoline, naphtha, jet kerosene, Shruti Sawant. So if you want to say hi, Shruti.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Cameron. And thanks for having me on the podcast.
No worries. All right, let's get down to it. Well, I suppose to kick things off today, I suppose I'll give a brief background on the refinery solvents market, and then we can head into discussion on feedstocks, where they are right now, where they're heading in the rest of Q4 and into 2021, and then we can have a brief roundup looking at the refinery solvents market outlook again in Q4. So I suppose to kick things off, in terms of refinery solvents pricing, really since the second half of July, prices have been relatively stable, particularly from July to the end of August. No real changes. We saw a bit of a dip at the start of September as really the expected demand improvement for the latter half of Q3, as people coming back from holidays, just didn't materialize. From the automobile coatings, industrial coatings sector, just didn't pick up as much as people had hoped. We have seen prices tick up in the last month or so to just below the levels that they were in towards the end of August. But clearly, there is significant uncertainty ahead for the market into the rest of Q4 and 2021. In terms of pricing has not been as feedstock led as in previous years. Really, we've seen quite a number of instances where prices just haven't responded to rising feedstock prices, and that's just been because there just hasn't been a demand there to sustain that increase. On the demand side, there's no real way to sugarcoat it. It's been weak on certain areas of certain key end user sectors, and now potentially we're looking at a double dip. Potentially we'll have to wait and see. Water additives, agrochemicals remain relatively robust. DIY is better than expected. Construction sector really is looking robust. Commercial is not so good. Demand from that area. On the supply side, really the focus has been around storage over the last few months. Producers, distributors, buyers all finding that tanks have been full towards the end of May, start of June. Tanks were full for many. We began to see a bit of a drop off into July and into August, and then levels came back up again. We had a bit of a drop on pricing, and now we're kind of having tank levels come back down a little bit, but the concern is there, still there on supply, managing that in the best way possible. So I suppose to kick things off on the feedstock side, I suppose, Shruti, naphtha would be a good place to start. What do you think about the naphtha market over the last few months? I mean, clearly big changes from this time last year when you were covering the market. But I mean, what have been the key factors that have been really driving the supply-demand balance over the last couple of months or so?
As you rightly pointed out, Cameron, definitely naphtha has been very interesting for the last few months. I would say a few weeks. But that makes a month or so. Reasons for naphtha being the king of the middle distillates at the moment has been that the refinery run cuts, which we saw during the lockdown period, when the refineries were compelled to kind of reduce their production rates, given that they were not finding enough buying interest, has actually now started to exhibit the outcomes. So we are seeing the shortage on the naphtha side, and with the length which was accumulated on naphtha was kind of eased down by a great arbitrage to Asia, which we saw up until August, which has now narrowed down and has been disappointing, or rather closed at the moment. But that overall, the major consuming market for naphtha, which is petrochemicals, is running at healthy rates. We can see crackers running approximately near 200%, if not less than that. And this
do
is
you
to
think
do.
That, sorry, just to interrupt. Do you think that you see, I mean, obviously in Europe now, we're kind of heading into more kind of lockdown territory again. Do you see parallels in terms of what was happening now in the market and what was potentially happening in March time? I mean, obviously we're now heading into winter as opposed to spring, summer. I mean, do you see any parallels there or?
Yeah, I mean, for the NAFTA, not at the moment. We don't see that. But then this is perhaps at the moment what market is seeing and is staying cautious of it, given that the movement in crude that we have seen, it has weakened and could see that refinery margins are still in the negative zone. So this could see some of the refineries, in fact, shutting down in the due course.
Yeah.
Because they are finding it hard to kind of operate at the levels which they are, which is actually below 50 to 60%. And
that
they
would
can't
be a bit of a shock to the sector. Yeah.
And technically, they can't go down unless they like completely shut down, which is a loss to the business. So, these are the bearish factors which are actually making the outlook
grim.
But as of now, NAFTA has been commanding quite a lot of premium, I would say around 30 to 35 US dollars, as against, which was not the case earlier in July or August. And this is definitely to do with the tightness, even though we are not seeing much requirement from the blending into gasoline pool or from the arbitrage to Asia or out close to Asia.
And I mean, just to move things on to gasoline briefly, I mean, obviously we've seen some stockpiles in the US building up. But I suppose on the European side, again, where do you think the market is at right now? I mean, what are the key supply demand drivers?
Inland at the moment, Europe. The demand has been surely disrupted by all the growing restrictions we are seeing again. So people are not moving out. They are not traveling on roads. They are not as much as on roads that we would expect during this time, especially with the Christmas approaching. And we didn't see the same during the summer months.
No driving season as such.
So no major driving factors at the moment. People are not keen to step out at the moment on the road. So definitely this is accumulating to the length. And even though the US gasoline inventory levels have been slowly going down, we are not seeing the arbitrage economics working in favor of European sellers.
Right. Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet. And it has to do with the fluctuations of freight rates.
I mean, do you kind of see this sort of where the market is right now? Do you kind of see that really a continuation of that into sort of Q1, Q2 of next year? I mean,
The
kind of low driving and all of these like lockdown factors. Yeah.
Yeah. If the lockdown situation persists and which is likely to be the case, given that we are seeing resurgence in cases. There are new cases coming up. We are seeing the governments across Europe considering the lockdowns again, which is, and as you rightly pointed out, the double dip recession, which is going to impact the macroeconomic indicators. And so this is definitely, we would see that gasoline could face the music from there.
Yeah,
that said, in the near term, all the eyes remain on the export opportunities at the moment, especially given that West Africa, especially Nigeria, which is seen unstable, and some demand from US is the only way we find as to aid the ease in the current market, European market length.
I suppose you could say worst of all, jet kerosene. Still not a rosy picture on that front. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm like, I still remember the double whammy when I said I was doing one of the articles, and this has been the case of persistent in jet, and it's we are already in winters, and given it's the winter season, given that traveling is still, especially international travel, even though the regional travel has picked up eventually, but we are again not seeing the same level of traveling. Passenger confidence is not the same, and the flight operating operations by Ryanair, the likes of EasyJet, British Airways, they all are considering to cut on their capacities, and that could be anywhere below 40%.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the other day that Heathrow said, well, they I think Paris was higher than Heathrow in passenger numbers over the last, I can't remember, 6 to 12 months or 6 months, whatever it is. So, yeah, I mean, I think there are some things going on in the aviation industry, which people never thought was possible. They never envisaged such a huge impact to this market. And everyone's got an opinion on it. I suppose some people don't see business travel getting back to normal for another sort of 4 or 5 years. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
That's true. And that sticks to what IATA has been predicting. So the Aviation Association stating that we are not expecting any time before 2024 our recovery similar to 2019, which is the case. And speaking of the prompt quarter, which is Q4, it's said that Eurocontrol is predicting somewhere around 25% or 1/4 of the operations in total compared to the last year's same quarter. So this is where do we see now the demand for jet fuel coming in, given that jet fuel has still got the length, and there's still a lot of material available on sea and on land. It's slightly easing, even the demand from gas oil pool and to some extent from the marine fuel blending, as you can only store jet fuel to a certain amount of period. You cannot store it given its chemical specifications. So it seems jet fuel is unlikely to see any rebound, at least until Q1, or I won't be surprised if I say Q2, because Q1 is a period that we have the Chinese New Year holiday.
There could be a bit of a, I mean, Asia is kind of that region, isn't it, that people are kind of looking towards and thinking. I mean, the export opportunities have been there for some markets in recent months, and clearly some Asian countries have dealt with this pretty well. I mean, South Korea, amongst others, have really got to hit it down hard.
And recent times I've seen different trade patterns, shift in trade patterns, more material going out to Asia, given that demand from Asia, and the recovery in Asian aviation industry has been more than regionally than other parts of the world.
Yeah, so, and you just think that's because they control the virus better, essentially.
I found that debatable, though.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of keep an eye, but jet aviation market is definitely not going to see any near-term rebound, at least until the second half of the next year.
Yeah, that's some time away, isn't it? But I suppose to draw things to a close, I suppose, coming back to refinery solvents, I suppose, the outlook, I suppose the one key word is uncertainty. There is a lot of uncertainty pertaining to the market. Some of the market are seeing parallels between what's going on now and what's going on in March. Some big Western European countries looking like they could be going into lockdowns again. There are some concerns there. You still got that bedrock of support from the water additives, agrochemical businesses, and residential construction. But I think that, like a lot of other markets, there are a lot of buyers, particularly, that do not want to take longer-term orders, don't want to make longer-term orders or contracts, just because they can't. They just don't want to take on that burden because the situation, the ground is shifting so fast under people's feet for the rest of, and that's going to be really the case for the rest of Q4 and probably Q1 into 2021.
Yeah, I will definitely agree with that.
So I suppose I would just like to draw this podcast to a close and thank my colleague Shruti Salwan and point you in the direction of our website icis.com for more analysis on petrochemical and energy markets and obviously refined oil products. So thank you. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Thank you.